Next on BYUSN, welcome to Red and Blue Week. Another wild weekend of college football has helped clear BYU's path to a Big 12 title and playoff. We'll discuss how the upsets impact BYU's future. And as I mentioned, it's BYU Utah Week. We set the table for how we rival by discussing how we feel 6 days out from the annual showdown.
ESPN's Trevor Maddich, who doesn't know what it's like to lose to a rival, previews the Utah game, tells us where he thinks the Cougars should be in the college football playoff rankings tomorrow. And fan favorite Richie Saunders of Men's Hoops previews the season opener with Central Arkansas tomorrow.
Richie! Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Monday, November 4th. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who has officially thrown away all of his red apparel, Jerem Jordan.
Just check in, no red. No red, this is brown, that's fine. Shouldn't be any red.
I think there's a red light on the camera, Jerem.
Well, that's whatever. our last set had like random red stuff on it.
Spuddy
like,
Buddy was wearing a red shirt.
Yes, yeah, St. Mary's Delvadova, a little gnome
the
doll.
Deli gnome.
Yeah, we should have broken that a long time ago. Porcelain, I think. Yeah, so I think we're good. Like, we can't change red stuff, the clock over there. I think we're good. We're looking good. So, great. No red week. I've checked my children. I've told them that you can't wear red this week at all. Tate has a little watch that's red. I was like, Whitney, why did we get a red watch? Anyway, it's rivalry week. I love this week. You mentioned blue-red week, double meaning with the election tomorrow. But, hey, November, undefeated Brigham. Chaos, carnage in the Big 12. Can't wait, man.
I've had many proud moments when it comes to my family, and specifically my wife, Brittany. But yesterday she said, should I save my blue dress for next week after BYU wins so that I can wear it to church? And I was like, I love you very much.
Wear it no matter what. You can wear that. It's good every week.
I thought that was fantastic. On that note, rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
A 12-0 season is on the table for BYU right now.
A college football playoff at large berth for BYU.
But that possibility is there.
Interesting, the pressure's on.
What's the next big game? I said the next one.
You've got the Big 12 championship game. They believe that BYU belongs there.
Well, the next one happens to be Utah. And BYU entered their second and final bye week this season as one of 8 undefeated teams in the country. Well, now, after just a bonkers weekend in college football, BYU enters this week as one of only 5 remaining unbeatens and the last perfect team in the Big 12. So, Jerem, let's break it down. How did the results from this past weekend ultimately impact BYU's future Big 12 championship game appearance potential and college football playoff hopes?
Let's go over the upsets. So, Iowa State loses to Texas Tech, who scores late. Kansas State loses to Houston. How about A&M losing? Also Clemson, those affect BYU in the college football playoff rankings, right? They were behind in the AP poll, but they'll now definitely be behind, you would think, with 2 losses each behind BYU in the college football playoff poll. So this is great because BYU controls its own destiny. Literally doesn't need a loss from this team or whatever. You went out in the regular season. You are in the Big 12 title game. You are undefeated, and therefore you will be an at-large with a loss should that happen in
BYU
the Big 12 title game.
Almost a lock in the Big 12 title game, even if they lose one of the final 4.
I would think they're 100% locked to get to the playoff if they're undefeated. Like, it's going to happen. We saw that even in the 14 playoff with TCU a couple years ago. They were undefeated, lost the championship game to Kansas State. Yep. They got in the playoff. They won the semifinal. They went to the national championship game. So, went out equals Big 12 title game and playoff. Awesome. BYU's not immune to an upset or a loss, though. Let us not think that we are any different than Iowa State or Kansas State. A loss in this league can happen. In fact, half the conference games have been decided by 1 score. Isn't that unbelievable?
It's the most in FBS of any conference.
BYU's not immune. You've got to bring it every game, or else all those crazy, stupid, tie-breaking scenarios come into play. You don't want that to happen.
BYU's been involved in 2 1-score games that were dramatic at the end.
Yep.
Baylor and Oklahoma State.
2-0 in those. Awesome. Big game with Colorado at Texas Tech this week, by the way. Go Red Raiders. Get a second loss for Colorado. That would be nice, because then you just have Iowa State and BYU with 0-1 losses, respectively. It doesn't matter right now that BYU is 28th in FPI from ESPN or the 61st toughest schedule in America, remaining SOS 47th. You win, you are in the Big 12 title game and subsequent playoff. I love that BYU controls its destiny.
I had a bunch of people say, how did it happen? How does Iowa State lose at home to Texas Tech? How does Kansas State go on the road and lose at Houston? Weather was a major factor in both of those games, which literally muddied those games up and delayed the Kansas State-Houston game significantly, almost 3 hours.
Good bye week timing with the weather.
Yes. Like BYU avoided the upsets and the bad weather, certainly in the Midwest. So that was a factor. But again, Houston and Texas Tech are sneaky teams. Houston specifically at home has been a bear.
They beat Utah?
Yes.
Now they've got a big win over Kansas State. How about that?
They have not been a bear on the road. So that bodes well for BYU.
Regular
Houston
season finale.
Very bad team on the road.
Yep.
So they come to Provo on November 30th. Kansas State's a head scratcher for me. I mean, they missed some field goals. Their special teams was anything but special on Saturday. And that's kind of their mantra.
We win
special teams.
They got behind and they had to pass the ball a little bit. And that's not their thing. They don't chug it.
See the BYU game.
Yep.
They started to feel that pressure and felt pressed, and they started turning the ball over and throwing interceptions. Yeah, that's how people were like, how did BYU destroy Kansas State? That formula.
Takeaways, special teams turnover.
Yes. Yes.
It seemed pretty obvious.
They did what Kansas State has done historically to so many teams. So I know it's crazy how it happened, but the fact that it happened gives BYU a significant advantage and one getting to the Big 12 championship game. What's crazy is if Colorado wins out and BYU, even if BYU wins three of the final four, it's going to be most likely a BYU-Colorado Big 12 championship
game. How fun would that be?
Can you imagine the media hype around that? With Deion Sanders,
Jacob Robinson lining up with Travis Hunter?
Come on.
Come on.
I know some BYU fans that want no part of that, but I think it would be fantastic for the conference.
I think that's an interesting matchup. If BYU lined up with Iowa State, it feels like similar teams rely on defense, good run games. I think BYU's offense is more explosive. Look at the chance to win out percentage differences, by the way. All of a sudden, BYU's goes down 1.9%. College Football Network goes down. Kelly Ford goes down. Which is interesting. It's like, what changed? That Houston got better or something last week?
Probably.
Like,
and Arizona State looks better.
Arizona State 6-2. That is the second toughest game left at Utah. I know the record's 4-4, but it's Utah, and BYU hasn't won up there since 06. You got to take care of business Saturday.
BYU might be a road underdog at Arizona State.
I would understand that, and I would love it because give this team reasons to be ticked off.
Yes.
And they will deliver.
Well, you look at the five remaining unbeaten teams. Number one Oregon deserves to be number one Oregon.
100%.
They have earned it. They have beaten Ohio State and have destroyed the majority of their competition and beat a really good Boise State.
They've entered the Big Ten and done what Utah thought they were going to do in the Big 12. Dominate.
Yes.
Yeah.
They literally are doing it
rather
than just saying it and then not doing it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, they're doing it.
All about that action, boss.
Number four Miami. That one's a head-scratcher for me.
They have star power. They have the Heisman Trophy leader, probably.
Yes, the front runner and Cam Ward.
Travis Hunter right there, too.
They have been granted some favorable rulings by officiating crews. Yes. Okay. Then number eight, Indiana. Haven't played anybody, but they've destroyed their competition.
Yeah.
They've absolutely destroyed the competition.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're right there with BYU. And then Army. Army is the other fun.
Army is exciting.
Independent.
Who doesn't
their American Athletic Conference now, but
who doesn't like when the military teams do well? Love it. It's American. Come on.
Those are the five unbeatens. If BYU can survive Utah, will any of the other unbeatens go down this week? I don't know. Probably not. Miami's at Georgia Tech. That one feels like maybe the most likely upset. But Indiana still has to play Ohio State, so. There are some big games on the forefront for even the five unbeatens.
Yeah.
It's I know people joke about 1984.
I'm wearing a shirt. I'm not joking.
But the way that things have shaken out thus far, it feels like a very special, unique season for BYU.
Two-thirds of the way done. We got to get through this last third right successfully. Certainly, it could end abruptly. The chance for the Big 12 title wouldn't end abruptly, but if you are undefeated in the regular season, that means you're good to go on.
Yes.
There are three boxes that you want to check this season for me. One is beat Utah. Two is make the Big 12 title game. Three is the college football playoff. You now begin the pursuit of that a lot heavier, a lot
compare
more
that to the three boxes you wanted BYU to check before the
it was make a bowl game, compete, and then hold the best firesides in the country. I'm just kidding. It's exciting what BYU is doing right now. But honestly, I'm not even thinking about Kansas next week. It's like, oh my gosh, it's Utah.
100%.
There's some scar tissue there. Like, we'll dive into all this a little more.
100%.
In fact,
I add one thing?
Please.
Here's what I don't like about what happened last weekend. The perception of the Big 12 Conference took a significant hit.
You were hoping Iowa State would win out as
remain unbeaten.
Kansas State would stay with one loss.
That's the best chance that the Big 12 were going to get two teams into the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Now the voices are saying, see, it's a one-bid league. It's a one-bid league unless BYU is 12-0 going into the Big 12 title game and they lose.
Yes.
That feels like the only, and I agree, likely scenario where the Big 12 gets two teams in is if there is an undefeated BYU and somehow the Cougars lost in the Big 12 championship game. Then BYU probably still gets into the playoff as a double-digit seed.
Is there any way, I was just thinking about this, and again, getting way out in front of our skis here on this thought, if BYU made the playoff, there's not really a way where BYU would be the 5 seed and host.
Or 5 through 8?
I don't think they'd be 6, 7, or 8. Like, if they're either undefeated, 4 seed, 3 seed type with a bye, or they're like 11 as an at-large or something. It doesn't feel like there's a middle ground. Unless Boise State was somehow perceived to be better than the Big 12 Conference champ, then the Big 12 Conference champ would be a 5 seed. But if BYU wins the Big 12,
it's an auto. Unless Boise State comes up, like BYU could be the 11th team in the college football playoff.
Now they're playing a road game.
But if they win the Big 12, they're automatically vaulted to the number 4 spot.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. There's no way that BYU could host one of those first.
Well, not necessarily. And if they're 12-0 and some of these other unbeatens lose, and they get up to like number 3 or 4 in the college football playoff rankings and then lost
then
the Big 12 title game,
then
maybe they could
six.
Fall to like a 7 or 8 and still host a first round game.
I would actually love that scenario almost more than winning the Big 12 and getting the bye, just because it'd be fun to play a playoff game in Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
To host a college football
yes,
playoff
host
game.
One. That'd be fun.
On December 20th.
And again, I'm getting ahead of myself here. BYU's got to win 4 more games to do that. But like, just that thought is pretty fun.
Win 3 of the next 4.
Winning a Big 12 title would be the best. But it'd be fun to host.
I know.
Again, I'm getting too excited. BYU's got to be Utah first. None of this matters if they don't win at least 3 of the next.
Great for BYU's Big 12 championship odds this past weekend. Not so great for the conference in trying to get more than one team in the college football.
I care probably less about that than you. I'm just concerned about Brigham at this point.
Oh, for sure. Number one
concern.
Well, I mean,
like, if we only get one in and it's BYU.
What stinks is if the Big 12 only gets one in because the conference is perceived as weak and BYU is left on the outside looking in, then that stinks. That's where my concern lies.
Yeah. Well, just win out and you'll be fine. It's that easy.
Okay.
All right. Now that it's game week for Brigham Young University and the University of Utah, both founded by Brigham Young himself, mm-hmm. 1850 and 1875,
yep.
respectively. How are you feeling about Saturday's game with the Utes?
It hasn't changed very much over the past 3 or 4 weeks, which is I know exactly what this game is. It is a massive test for BYU on the road. Hornets Nest. It is Utah's Super Bowl this season. If they and their fan base want to salvage the season, it starts and ends with beating BYU and ruining the Cougars' perfect season. I expect them to be motivated beyond belief. They've had 2 weeks to prepare, just like BYU. There will be some juice early in this game. For me, Jerem, it's always been about can you survive the emotions of the first quarter and a half of this game and then just get into playing football. If you can get through the first 20 minutes of the game without absolute catastrophe and letting the emotions take over and terminal turnovers like we have seen in recent games in this rivalry.
I don't want to talk about
just saying
2015 or 20 whatever year, you name it.
Yes. Survive the first 20 minutes and the emotions that are involved, and then it's just a football game. Just make some plays, and then things settle in, and you're just playing football from there on out. If BYU can do that, I think they have a fantastic chance to win the game. Just avoid a massive turnover shift early in the game. This is what I'm thinking about the past 4 weeks. So you say, how I'm feeling about it? My mind is just thinking, just avoid the catastrophe in the first 20 minutes, And then I think BYU's in great shape to potentially win that game.
The last 4 weeks have changed completely how I feel about this game, because Utah always makes me a little nervous given the 9-game losing streak. You know, BYU's got a 1-game win streak. By the way, on Saturday, it will have been over 1,800 days since Utah beat BYU in football. They haven't played that much, but it's a fun stat. Utah's offense stinks right now. Are they going to score enough points? Can the BYU defense shut them down like other teams have? They haven't scored 24-plus in a Power 4 game this year. They're bottom 30 in points per game, giveaways, third down conversions. They don't know what quarterback they're going to play between Isaac Wilson and Brandon Rose. Can BYU limit Utah to so few points that the offense only needs to score like 3 touchdowns? The Utah defense is good, however.
That's why you have to avoid a defensive touchdown.
Yeah, that matchup of BYU's offense versus Utah's defense is going to be very interesting. Can BYU continue to take it away like they have been? Because 18 turnovers gained is tied 6th in the nation. 14 picks is 3rd. BYU's defense is really good. Outscoring opponents 69-10 off turnovers. Can that be the factor that wins you the game? I do believe, and I got a lot of response from everyone last week, that if BYU doesn't turn it over at all, that they win convincingly. Like, if BYU takes care of the ball, I think if it's a straight-up fight, BYU's offense is going to out-offense Utah by quite a bit. Utah's offense has showed that it's not there. Yet, it's Utah. It's emotional. It's different. Rice Eccles, I think, is still going to be rocking despite a lot of narrative
of
that people are
will.
Selling their tickets and not into this. Utah has to win this game to make a bowl game. Hear me out. At Colorado next week.
Good luck.
Iowa State at home the next week.
Even tougher.
At UCF on a short week, Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving.
You saw what UCF did to Arizona, Arizona beat Utah.
And UCF almost had Iowa State. I think that if Utah does not win this game, they don't make a bowl game. I think it's a very hard finish for the Utes, so they'll be up for this one.
There's desperation.
BYU's up for it, equal to or more, though. They got a special season going. You got to show up and win in Salt Lake. I am nervous, but super excited.
Another good thing about last weekend was BYU had an opportunity to watch Iowa State and Kansas State lose when they were the clear favorites in those games. This is good. This helps BYU zero in and lock in
Don't
even
be
more
those guys.
Emotionally,
yeah.
Which is you have to go and earn this. Treat it like the Super Bowl, as Aaron Rodgers has been saying all year. This
Super
is
Bowl
Super
nine.
Bowl number 9.
Yeah, I love that.
Treat it like the Super Bowl. That gets an added measure of zeroing in because of what happened last weekend. So yeah. I believe that BYU will be ultra-focused if they weren't before and be ready for this game emotionally.
There's zero excuse to lose this game for BYU. Zero. The way you're playing, the way they're playing, figure it out and win the game.
We saw a not-so-cryptic tweet from a notable Utah account last night that just posted a rose emoji, which would suggest that
they're going back to the Rose Bowl this
that they're starting their third-string quarterback,
Brandon Rose.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So,
who hadn't thrown a pass at Utah until last week, 2 weeks ago.
I don't know. I know Isaac Wilson's been banged up. He's been dealing with some injuries. Kyle Whittingham talked about that.
It's his birthday Saturday.
I know. Zach told me that.
You pointed that out to me, and I was like, oh, that's fun.
So many layers.
Happy
to
birthday,
this game.
Except for the game.
And we love the Wilsons.
Yeah.
We just want BYU to win.
Just want BYU to win.
Saturday. That is for sure. Line opened up. BYU is a 5-point favorite, by the way. It's down to 4.
Well, let's go back to May when it was Utah by 17.
17.
Yeah.
At one
That's
point,
when it
Utah
actually opened
17.
Up.
Yeah. Now it's BYU by 4.
Oh, how the turn's table, Spencer.
Oh, our question of the day.
Can't wait, bro. Can't wait.
How do all of you rival during BYU-Utah week? How does it manifest itself? At SwooshLive59 on Instagram answers,
nice.
I wear a different BYU hat to work. Legit eat nothing red.
Oh, don't even eat anything red.
Sko Cougs, he adds.
Sko, yeah,
Sko
that's
Cougs.
Well played.
Okay.
Well played. That's not the elite voice, wow.
At MM1045 on X answers, I usually wear one BYU accessory item of clothing every day. This week I've got royal blue nail polish.
Love it.
Go Cougs. I know all about that. Once upon a time I had Taylor Williams paint my nails royal blue.
Hey, coming up Friday, that might be the case. We'll see.
Tara Hatch on Instagram says, by worrying myself silly. That's how I rival.
Stressing out.
I'm telling you,
yeah.
I think a majority of fans are feeling like Tara. Just stressed.
There's a stress.
Wound
yeah.
tight.
Yeah. Because you care.
Hashtag BYUS on an X, Facebook, and Instagram. Tell us how you rival.
How about over the weekend, the results from other teams at BYU? Women's cross country, back-to-back Big 12 championships.
Amazing.
Men's cross country upsetting number 1 Oklahoma State during the show on Friday. Women's soccer beating Oklahoma State 5-0 in the quarterfinals of the conference tournament.
Four zip and half.
Season high. And women's volleyball sweeping Arizona, which meant I had more time at home to watch college football.
Yes.
What was the most surprising result of the weekend?
It's got to be, oh, man, that score from soccer was, I mean, honestly, we're just talking like strict result. Like soccer might take the 5-0.
I saw the halftime score. I was like, wow.
5-0. But with how big of an underdog men's cross country was to number one ranked Oklahoma State, for them to win the Big 12 championship and then couple up with the BYU women winning the Big 12 championship, that to me collectively was the most pleasant surprise. What the kind of, biggest surprise.
Amen. What kind of school is this? It's a running school.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
This is a it's an everything school, but it's a running school.
That's part of BYU's athletic excellence.
That was awesome. We don't just care about football and men's basketball here. We care about everything. We care about the person.
That's why we talk about it.
The spirituality, the academics, all the sports. BYU fans love them some Olympic sports. And here they go, continuing to be great.
Yes.
Love it. Yes, I agree. Men's cross country upsetting number one Oklahoma State. Is it an upset if you're number two? Yes.
Yes.
There's a gap there.
Huge gap.
Perceived, and BYU closed said gap and won that. Now, it's not the biggest race of the year, said Ed Eystone after. But he said, it's a big deal to win this. And he believes his guys will be even better in the NCAA championships.
BYU has arrived. Everybody knows. Oklahoma State knows. Oh, snap. They could win the national championship.
Yeah, it's on November 23rd in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Big day, by the way, across the sports landscape of BYU. We are everywhere that day. It's going to be fun.
Men's and women's basketball, cross-country national championships, BYU women's football volleyball. At Arizona State might be a ranked matchup.
Might be a ranked
matchup. If Arizona State continues to win.
That is an exciting day.
Woo! All right, let's keep it rolling.
Okay, join us tomorrow night. We got a special show for the college football playoff reveal of the top 25 rankings. We will be live at 7 Eastern to react to BYU being number 9. That's what I think they'll be, 8 or 9 or something. On YouTube, X, Instagram, Facebook. Tomorrow night, 7 Eastern, come hang out with us exclusively on YouTube, X, Instagram, and Facebook.
After the break, ESPN's Trevor Maddich goes one-on-one with Jerem to preview BYU-Utah 2024 and where he thinks the Cougars will land in tomorrow's college football playoff ranking. This is BYUSN.
It is up to you to decide your team's destiny.
The Big 12 race is still on.
Ranger, are you kidding me?
I feel like they have to win that game at Utah.
I don't care how you win.
Because that place is going to be an absolute hornet's nest.
It's hard to go undefeated.
I'm excited no matter what. This BYU defense is ready for any challenge right now.
BYU just needs to show up with the beekeeper suit, right? Let's go.
That'd be funny if you did.
Be prepared.
Hey, welcome to the hornet's nest. As there's like empty pockets of the stadium. I think they'll fill it up, don't you?
Absolutely.
There's been a lot of rhetoric of like, oh, we're done with this season. We're out.
It'll be full.
Yeah.
And it'll be primarily red.
Yeah. You know who's full of excitement? Trevor Maddich of ESPN. We love talking to him every Monday. This morning I talked to Trevor about the BYU-Utah game, the college football playoff, the chaos in the Big 12, all of that and more in my conversation with Trevor. Trevor, can you believe the carnage in the Big 12 over the weekend? Iowa State, Kansas State go down. Now BYU controls its own destiny in the Big 12. What do you make of it?
That's exciting, especially given the difference from what the expectation was preseason. And I don't know, I didn't have both Kansas State and Iowa State losing. I knew that Texas Tech was a threat to Iowa State. I knew that Kansas State has been playing exceptionally well down the stretch for the most part. I didn't think Houston had a chance against them, but Texas Tech got it done, and the weather in Houston, bad weather, big thunderstorm delays in the Rice game against Navy, which affected Navy. Rice beat Navy in part because everything was so wacky there, and Kansas State loses, and that's huge for BYU because it just gives them extra fudge factor to get to the conference championship game. You know, BYU before last weekend really kind of had to win out in order to get there, or at least not be subject to miserable tie-breaking scenarios. But now they've got a little bit of leeway.
Those tie-breaking scenarios are complex and weird and common opponents and win percent, da-da-da. BYU controls its own destiny. You were in this position in November in 1984 as teams started to lose and BYU continued to win and rise in the polls. What's the pressure like? What was it like in 84? What's it like on these guys as they know, okay, if we win out, not only are we going to the Big 12 title game, they'll get an at-large to the playoff in all reality.
Well, the pressure isn't to win out. The pressure is to practice really well today. That's what the pressure is. That's the way we handled it back in the day where, you know, we looked at the results around the country Of course, we had to wait for the newspaper to come out the next day to know most of them. But we looked at those and we realized that we were moving up, that things were falling into place for us. But I don't think we ever felt pressure that we've got to win the rest of our games so that we can get there. It was all take care of the business in front of us. And that's the preparation we're making for the next game. And this team, the way they play indicates that that's what they do. The way the team leaders talk indicates that that's what they do. So I think if they thought about, well, we got to win out and it's a tough game against Utah because of the rivalry. It's a tough game against Arizona State because they're much better than people expected. Houston all of a sudden is coming alive. And if they thought that way, there'd be a lot of pressure. But it really takes a lot of pressure off of you as an athlete when you just think about the thing you're doing next. You know, Chip Kelly, when he was coach at Oregon, made famous the statement, win the day. Well, that's what it is, win the day. And so I think they're focused in the right place. So while fans probably feel pressure because fans are looking forward to the games coming up beyond Utah, I think the team is thinking about winning the day, and that means the day of practice until they get to the game.
We'll talk about Utah in a moment. Tomorrow, the first college football playoff committee top 25 comes out. Where do you expect BYU to be in it?
I don't think they'll be too different from where they are now. AP, they're 9, but keep in mind that the committee doesn't go based off of the AP poll. They have a lot of advanced analytics that they look at. One of the things they'll look at that might harm BYU in terms of their first ranking is that while BYU is 9th in the AP right now, they are 28th, I believe, in FPI, Football Power Index, and 22nd in SP Plus, which is Bill Connolly of ESPN.com's more advanced analytic of version of the FPI. And so the committee will be looking at things like that, and they'll evaluate BYU differently than maybe the AP pollsters did. But another thing that the committee values tremendously is the quality of wins. And BYU still has wins over two teams that are currently ranked this week. Even though Kansas State lost, they're still ranked. And the SMU is still ranked with their only loss being to BYU. And the committee will look at that and they'll look at the quality of those wins, the way those games were played, and they'll see that neither one of those teams, K-State or SMU, scored a touchdown against BYU. So they'll see that BYU didn't just win because, gee, they got lucky and the other team messed up. They played good football in those games. And the better SMU does, the better it is for BYU. And so the committee will also look at that. Who are the quality wins? Now you look around the country, and this is not to disparage any teams, but Indiana, I don't believe has played a team yet that's currently ranked. They're undefeated. Miami's undefeated. They haven't played a team that's currently ranked. BYU has played 2 and beat them both. And so these are things that the committee will be considering when they have their first ranking.
Talking to ESPN's Trevor Maddich on BYU Sports Nation. Trevor, we asked you last week, but let's ask you again this week. What is it like to lose to a rival?
You know, you can't ever ask that too much. And the answer is, I don't know. You'll have to ask somebody else. My teams were 8-0 against Utah and Utah State. Still feels good. Still matters. And it all is coming up for them this week against Utah, because a lot of things can change from super positive to uh-oh if Utah knocks them off. But in terms of that rivalry game, fans know it matters to them. I mean, fans seeing their friends that are fans of the opposite team and, you know, social situations and work and church and all the rest of it, it matters to them. The players, it matters dramatically to them because they're the ones that actually take all the incoming when it comes to losing that game. You're the one that lost it. And when you win it, it's like you're the one that won it. And that is a delicious feeling.
Which matchup are you looking at the most? Because you see a Utah offense that's really struggled, hasn't put up 24-plus in a Power 4 game this year against a very good BYU defense. And then there's the Utah defense, which is very good as well, against a BYU offense that is better than most people think. Which sides of the ball are you watching the most?
I think the BYU running game especially against the Utah defense will be the key matchup in this game. You're right that the Utah offense has been struggling. I don't know that they'll score a lot of points, but BYU will be facing a much more stout defense than I think a lot of fans realize. If you look at the course of the season, even though Utah won their first 4 games, they've lost their last 4. Everybody knows Cam Rising, their quarterback, went out in game 2. And so that contributed heavily to that. Still, Utah is 2nd in the Big 12 in fewest points allowed, and first in the Big 12 in fewest total yards allowed to opposing offenses. Now, they've lost those four games in a row, but it's not because the defense got blown out. They've given up more rushing yards than they're accustomed to, Utah. But at the same time, look at the Houston game, their most recent loss. Houston scored 17 points and won the game. That's kind of half crazy. But what gets worse is that TCU scored 13 points and won the game. And so the defense of Utah is still holding teams down for the most part. As a matter of fact, you look at TCU, other than the Utah game, every team they played but one, TCU scored more than 30 points. And the 13 that Utah allowed them in the loss is by far the fewest TCU has scored. So this Utah defense is still dangerous. They've had injuries, especially up front in the front seven. Some of that will probably be resolved a little bit, or at least better, because of the bye week as they head into this BYU game. So this running attack of BYU, which has been outstanding since LJ Martin and Hinkley Rapati have come back from injury a few weeks ago, that matchup against a Utah defense that is still one of the best in the Big 12 is going to determine this game.
Yeah, in this four-game losing streak for Utah, the opponents Arizona 161 have rushed for this. Arizona State 176, TCU 132, Houston 228. BYU's coming off of back-to-back 250-plus rushing games. That'll be a huge factor. Turnovers have been a huge factor in this game, too. BYU, of course, won back in 21, snapping the 9-game losing streak. But prior to that, felt like BYU would give it away, and then Utah would score off at least one of those. This BYU defense has taken the ball away quite a bit, 18 times, 14 picks. Those are both top six in college football, Trevor. Will takeaways be a huge factor in the game?
I think they will, because BYU has thrived when they've gotten takeaways by the defense and short fields for the offense. The offense has been outstanding at finishing those short field drives with touchdowns. A lot of teams, you know, the defense will get an interception or a fumble, and then the offense won't do anything with it. BYU's offense does things with it. And that'll be important, again, because, you know, you talked about the rushing that the Utah defense has given up in recent weeks, but it hasn't turned into points for the other team. And so those short fields can be important for BYU. And here's another way to look at it, that if BYU or Utah hasn't been running the ball very well, part of that is because their passing attack has gone quite south without Cam Rising, and teams have been loading the box against the run. But if BYU jumps out to a lead and then are able to stop the run, I expect them to heat up whoever's playing quarterback for Utah. It might be Wilson, it might be Rose. I'm not sure what they're going to do. But I expect BYU to not sit back and keep everything in front of them on defense. I expect the Cougars to go after them, to speed up their decision-making process, to try to force mistakes. And most turnovers come because you're pressuring the quarterback. And you can pressure the quarterback when you stop the run. So BYU will have an opportunity if they can stop that run to tee off on the Utah quarterbacks. And for their sake, hopefully, they hope to get a whole bunch of takeaways that'll turn into points for the Cougars. And so this is the kind of a thing that could be a close grinding affair like Utah's last two games, scored 17 and lost, scored 13 and lost. Or BYU could start to run away with it if they're able to force a lot of turnovers. There's a lot of things that can happen in this game. And also the other way could happen. I mean, Utah could jump on the Cougars if the Cougars aren't playing sound football and protecting the ball themselves. So, you know, I think people look at the records, BYU undefeated, Utah lost their last four in a row. And they think, oh yeah, BYU is just going to waltz in there and toss their helmets onto the field and they're just going to have an easy win. Well, maybe, but probably not. It's probably going to be tough because Utah, I mean, this is their Super Bowl. They still can become bowl eligible, but this is the game that's going to define their season now. Everything is pointed at this, and you and I both know when you have rivalry games like this, it's emotion and ferocity have a whole lot to do with who wins.
It's an important game for a million reasons for Utah. Obviously, the rivalry with BYU. Oh, by the way, top 10 team playing great football at Colorado next week. Home Iowa State, and then at UCF on Black Friday. That's a tough Final Four. Utah's got to win at least two of those to get to a bowl game. BYU trying to not help the cause coming up Saturday.
Right, and so Utah would love nothing more than to knock BYU from the unbeatens and maybe even out of the conference championship game if BYU falters a second time. We'll see. But you're right about that. Utah's lost four in a row. And when you look at FPI and who's favored to win based on the Football Power Index, Utah is not favored to win any of those games. FPI says it's likely that Utah will lose each one of them to finish the season with an 8-game losing streak. Now, that's a proud program. They still have a lot of talent, and they are exceptionally well coached. And so they're not going to lay down. They're going to come out fighting.
Pull out them tiny violins for the Utah schedule. Trevor, we appreciate the time. Thanks for the time, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay, I'm sure they'll put that on the bulletin board. It's good to join you.
Join us tomorrow night for a BYU Sports Nation College Football Playoff Rankings live reaction show streamed exclusively on YouTube, X, Instagram, Facebook, the BYU Sports Nation account, of course, coming up at 7 Eastern.
After the break, Richie Saunders of BYU Men's Basketball joins us to preview the season opener against Central Arkansas. Will he tell us anything about the secret scrimmage?
I was hoping he'd be wearing the headband here, too.
This is BYU SN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
I just love Richie, man. He's just fun to watch.
His superpower is his motor. Like, he can just keep going.
Richie. Richie for the lead from three.
Saunders!
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B in the Cougar Council Room alongside Jerem Jordan. I'm Spencer Linton.
Let us counsel one with another.
Let us counsel with the great Richie Saunders. All of his superpowers are with us here in Studio B. Richie,
what up, Richie?
Welcome.
Hey, happy to be here.
All right, we heard a quote from one of your teammates who said his superpower is clearly his motor. Where does the drive and your motor and the energy for said motor come from, Richie?
A headband. No, I mean, in a real note, my parents, they taught me how to work. And I've been asked that question through the years, right? And I don't have a great answer, but a couple of things, like, that's my parents. They somehow got me to really buy into working hard, and as well as my mission. Honestly, like, just that daily grind, like, I feel like as I've looked back on it, like, I can clearly, like, contribute a lot of my basketball to that.
That's one of the many advantages of a mission.
It's true.
It's a disadvantage physically, but it's an advantage in what you get, like who you become, right? And it's a thing you can control. Like sometimes your shot's not going down or your feet aren't moving the way you want, but effort's always there. Okay, you played an exhibition game in front of 16,000 fans, by the way, last week. What'd you learn about the squad after that 40 minutes?
I think it was really good. Like we needed that, right? Like we have a lot of talent on this team, and we have a lot of room to grow into things that we've had to really work on the last few days preparing for tomorrow's game, but learn that we just have really talented people on that court, and I'm excited to have it come together more, like as it will.
The first play lob is a thing that we've seen in the blue and white and the exhibition. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's scripted either. You just throw that thing up and they're going to go get it, you know?
Back in the day with the Jazz, do you remember this? It was always like a back pick for Adam Keefe. And
absolutely.
Like every first play of the game. I like the way this is going.
Jerry Sloan special for the Jazz. This is maybe the Kevin Young special. When's the lob being drawn up for Richie Saunders?
I'm waiting.
Let's send Richie off a back pick and
let's
lob
him
a ball.
Let's
set a screen for this man.
Okay, you said you were able to isolate in on some things that you need to work on after the exhibition. So let's talk specifically about that. What are those things that you felt like you needed to work on?
Yeah, I mean, as a team collectively, like, we really worked very, just with a lot of focus on, like, our second line of defense. We call the shifts.
You're a hockey team now. I like it.
Yeah. I'm not a big hockey guy, but we need to learn.
Utah hockey club. Let's go.
This in the peel switch defense.
Yeah. But meaning, like, say you're on the ball, I'm your help defender. Just really working with my positioning, as well as really hitting first and, showing our physicality from the jump. Overall taking care of the ball. Things that we can control, all of those things were like clear flags for us as a team. And it's just so good to play against other people because you don't see these as much when you're playing against each other in practice every day for the last 6 months, right? But like now that we're against other people, like it's cool how it just like comes up. And then we can address them as we have and as you'll see tomorrow.
Which is fun because when you guys play against each other, the offense knows the defensive scheme and what play is coming, and that's hard, right? Now you play Central Arkansas tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So besides winning, what's the goal in the season opener tomorrow night?
I mean, I think a big one is to improve on those things from last game. The O board, the defensive board, the shift, second line of defense, and just defense as a whole and taking care of the ball. But you know, this is a journey. It's a lot of new guys, and I'm excited to really start this thing because, again, like it takes a little bit for all the pieces to like really understand each other, and like I just hope that we can take a step up moving forward tomorrow.
Your teammates and your coaches have pointed out that you have taken a significant step forward in your role and your production, and your performance in the secret scrimmage also has become a thing. But what can you tell us about where you feel like you have improved the most and how Kevin Young has helped you get better as a basketball player?
Yeah, you know, like, I feel like he's really, like, helped me to raise my sights of who I can be as a basketball player. Mm. You know, like, he's been around some of the greatest players to ever play the game, and it's been cool to like, kind of raise my sights a little bit for my just basketball as a whole and who I can be. He's really challenged me on this defensive end, as well as just, like, being in control and just doing the things that I do, not trying to be somebody else, but doing what I do. It's been fun. It's been cool.
Last year, Evan Mayakawa came up with this metric called the Bayesian Performance Rating. You led BYU. It was a 5-point something. It was really good. It was the best on BYU's team since Yoli Childs. You impact every facet of the game. Does your role change at all, whether you're a starter or a bench player? Because it sounds like the way you're playing, you probably will be in the starting lineup.
I mean, like, it's just a matter of whoever's on the court first or second or whatever. Like, it's just a matter of doing the things that we need to do. You know, like, I don't think it necessarily changes for me. Like, I'm going to come and I'm going to play as hard as I can and play as smart as I can and for the time that I'm given, however that is. And hope that's the mentality for everybody on our team. And, you know, because it is like a little battle of like, well, like, I mean, I went through it for the last few years, right? But, you know, like, as we really just like put that away of like, oh, I'm starting or I'm not, right? Like, just playing, just hooping, and just getting down to, again, what we personally do to help the collective team.
For those that haven't seen BYU play, and again, those that have been in the Marriott Center to watch the blue and white scrimmage and the exhibition have seen a little bit, but for those who have not seen this version of BYU basketball play yet, how would you explain your style and how this team plays basketball?
Yeah, I think it's fast. It's fast, and it's not so much about running a specific play. It's about using that play to get a bucket, or like in transition, we have some great plays and stuff that we just flow into. And it's not so much of just being robots and running the play, but it's like we're gonna go get a bucket, and if this play gets us that bucket, then it's great, you know. But, yeah, and I should say like. We are trying and are building our identity on moving this ball, and like making the extra pass and, something that people should expect.
People are excited about, obviously, the, you know, getting a would-be NBA head coach as the head coach at BYU, the strength and conditioning, the mental strength, all NBA influenced, which is pretty wild. On the court, where are you seeing sort of that NBA influence? And maybe you just mentioned it in terms of like, no, we get up and we have a system, but we're not like tied to that exact play.
No, I think that's the big thing. A lot of what we do is like, okay, that didn't work. So then what? What are we going to do next? And which is funny because I didn't notice it until I was in the system and doing it. But now that I watch NBA games, I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, oh yeah, I just did that yesterday. You know, like, it's just the mentality of, just what's next, what's next, what's next. It's like that didn't work, so what are we going to do?
NBA boot camp in Provo, Utah.
Yeah.
I love it. Heck I love to see the T-shirts that say Provo as well. I think that's well played.
That's awesome.
We'll finish with this. How's your headband game going to evolve this season, Rich? Are you going to go matching with the uniform? You're going to mix and match the colors? Is there a lucky headband?
You know, I wear those headbands too much. So the lucky aspect is I got to make sure all of them are lucky. But the refs make sure that everything's coordinated. So they take away a lot of the creativity, which I'm appealing for. I'm trying to get the ref to change this rules, but no.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm just excited to hoop and to be back and to do this thing.
I look forward to a neon green headband at some point.
Yeah. The refs will be like,
I would be out of the game really quick.
Richie, great to have you.
Thanks,
with
Richie.
Us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
All right.
Hey, watch Richie and the boys warm up tomorrow night live on our pregame show, BYSN Countdown, at 8 Eastern time.
Oh, yeah.
Cannon Ketchings, Yegor Demon debut, Richie and Dallin and Foose and the boys are back and Trevin. It's going to be awesome, man. Pregame tomorrow, full hour at 8 Eastern.
Can't wait to watch Richie play with the Karma, too, Jerem.
Heck yeah, dude.
Let's go.
Give me a 20 spot.
Hey, some big-time performances at the Big 12 Championships this weekend for cross country. I like multiple titles, and it helps kind of kick off rivalry week the right way. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Hey, follow the program on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok, BYU Sports Nation, throughout the day.
Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's get to your Monday headlines.
Football, lone undefeated team in the Big 12 now after Iowa State lost to Texas Tech over the weekend. BYU number one, first place in the Big 12 alone at Utah Saturday. Pregame 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Also, this just in moments ago, BYU Kansas in Provo. Coming up November 16th, kickoff 10:15 p.m. Eastern on ESPN.
Give me all the Vampire Cougs. BYU football holding steady at number 9 in the AP poll after their second bye week this season. Cougars remain the highest-ranked Big 12 team, followed by Iowa State at 17, Colorado at 21, Kansas State at 22. Tomorrow, the first college football playoff poll will be released at 7 Eastern on ESPN. We will have a special BYUSN live reaction show beginning at 7 Eastern on YouTube, X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Cougars in the NFL highlights include Taysom Hill, 41st career touchdown, 9th in Saints history in a loss to the Panthers. Tyler Allgeier, 6 carries for 18 yards, had a touchdown in the win over the Cowboys. Puka Nacua had a catch for 11 yards, ejected in the second quarter for throwing a punch. Kyle Van Noy recorded 3 tackles for the Ravens in a big win over the Broncos. And Kingsley Suamati, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs host the Bucks tonight on Monday Night Football.
BYU men's and women's cross country each won their respective Big 12 championship races in Waco, Texas on Friday morning. The women won their second consecutive Big 12 title, while the men upset number 1 Oklahoma State to win their first. 11 total BYU runners named all Big 12 up next. For the cross-country teams, the NCAA Mountain Regionals Friday, November 15th in Reno, Nevada.
4-seed women's soccer pummels 5-seed Oklahoma State 5-0 in the Big 12 Tournament quarterfinals. The Cougars play 1-seed TCU Wednesday afternoon on ESPN Plus in the semis.
Number 20 BYU women's volleyball sweeping Arizona in 3 sets on Saturday. The Cougars led by Claire Little's 20 kills. With the win, BYU improves to 14-7 overall, 7-4 in Big 12 play. Up next, a road match at number 22, Utah, on Friday.
Nice job, Big 12 schedulers. Swim and dive split a dual meet with UNLV Saturday. Men's team getting the win. Highlights include top 10 all-time performances from Tanner Nelson in the 200 free, Jacob Ballard in the 200 fly, Max Kleinman in the 100 fly, and Sarah Eliason in the 100 fly.
BYU rugby picking up 2 big wins over the weekend to improve to 6-0. First, they beat Utah 76-3.
That a baby!
And follow that up with a 68-14 win over Weber State. BYU beating its opponents by an average score of 77-9 this season.
I would take that Saturday. I really would. Former Cougars Connor Mance and Clayton Young ran in the New York Marathon yesterday. Mance took 6th place, was the fastest American in the race. 2 hours and 9 minutes. Man, I don't even go to and return from church in that time. Young took 7th, finishing 21 seconds after Mance.
We'll keep it rolling with responses to our question of the day. How do you rival during BYU-Utah football week? This is BYU Sports Nation. Question, how do you rival during BYU-Utah week? Answer, and our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated in from at @n_Crowley19 on X, who says, my whole family doesn't wear red all week. I dye my milk hair milk blue, or my milk, actual milk blue on game day.
Like Star Wars or something?
I have certain clothes that are exclusive BYU versus Utah, and of course I review the Twitter receipts I collected during the offseason slash early season.
Very nice.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Cross country, winning both, still awesome. I know we talked about it Friday, but bringing home the ship.
Our thanks to today's guests, Trevor Maddich and Richie Saunders.
Sorry, Dennis, ran out of time.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout-out to Brian McKenzie. See you tomorrow. Go Cougs.